This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of his blessings upon him, the first of which is Sharh al-Sadr, that Allah azza wa jal expanded, opened up, uplifted, blessed, and purified his heart. Obviously, the verse, we said it refers to the sadr, but the sadr is the space, whether the actual physical space or the spiritual space that in which the heart is, the core of the person is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of that. By the way, medical professionals, أين medical professionals? في عندنا أحد هنا؟ في عندنا أحد medical professional؟ أي طيب. الآن إذا الإنسان عنده ضغط في قلبه, if someone has a heart problem, do they feel like their chest is tightening? يعني isn't it a common symptom that إذا الإنسان عنده, if a person has an issue with the heart, they feel pressure, right? Does it affect their breathing? It does affect their breathing. Like, and if the heart is healthy, no issue, arteries are fine, very healthy, generally speaking, and there is nothing wrong with the breathing, usually the person feels what? Relief. And I remember, subhanAllah, someone was telling me how before they had the bypass surgery, they used to feel, shortness of breath, that there's always this pressure. And as soon as they fixed that problem, it was like their chest expanded. Likewise, the spiritual heart, عندما يضيق قلب الإنسان يحس الإنسان بضيق. حتى كثير من الناس يقول, a lot of people say, أنا ضايق صدري. People say, my chest is so tight. And when you are dealing with some stress, or you're dealing with some, any form of stress or a stress-causing condition, usually you feel tightness. It affects your breathing. مع إنه ما في إشكال صح؟ ما يكون في أصلاً إشكال. And that is because our emotional and spiritual state could actually trigger, right? Inflammatory-like conditions. صح؟ Okay. فيصير في إيش في الأوعية؟ What happens? ضيق. فيضيق الإنسان. فيحس بضيق حقيقي. يعني the person is, his heart is fine, his chest is, his lungs are fine, everything is fine, medically speaking. But because of the stress they're feeling or the anxiety that they're feeling, they actually literally have, like if you ever, or if you've seen or if you examine someone who experienced anxiety attack, that's what happens. Same exact, almost like very similar to, symptoms to that. فالله سبحانه وتعالى يذكر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Allah عز وجل reminds the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم of how Allah عز وجل purifies and serenity and tumanina and expanded his chest or his heart spiritually and purified it so that he can receive this guidance, wahi, and also he can spread this and accommodate people's needs, people's spiritual needs, emotional needs, as well as other needs, social needs, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a leader. So Allah reminds him of that. وَإِلَّا مَا كَانْ تَحَمَّلْ يعني لولا أن الله شرح صدر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وبارك فيه. إحنا حنقلب العربي لأنه ما عندنا إلا عرب. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not do that, if Allah didn't open and expand and didn't bless the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would have actually not been able to withstand or tolerate the pressure and the stress that comes with wahi, with receiving wahi. و ووضعنا عنك وزرك. الله سبحانه وتعالى says to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and we have with that, that in and of itself also led to the ease of the burden of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, الذي أنقض ظهرك, which almost, you know, put so much stress on your back, on you, weighed down heavily on you, ورفعنا لك ذكرك, and then we elevated your mention or your fame or your name, صلى الله عليه وسلم, and we talked yesterday about the manifestations of that. Then after that, and we said always, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the Prophet, reassures and reminds the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of his blessings upon him, what follows that is what? Action items. What does this mean? Alright? What do we do? طيب. تحفظون هذه السورة? Do you know this surah? Okay, you have to sit and watch. And you have to listen. If you don't, how old are you?
Me?
Yes, yes.
Nine.
You're nine. طيب. والله زمان nine old, you know, long time ago. Now, I remember I used to be nine, but still I was able to sit. Can you sit? I challenge you to sit and just listen. To sit and just pay attention. What's that? Okay, خلاص. What I'm saying, I challenge you to sit there and not move and pay attention. So that at the end, when I ask you questions, you're able to answer them. Right. And when you run around here, you're going to be seen in the camera. So do you want that?
My camera.
MashaAllah alaykum. طيب. Now I need you to step back two rows and sit in the back. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّمَا عَلْ عُسْرِ يُسْرَى إِنَّمَا عَلْ عُسْرِ يُسْرَى. Indeed, with usr comes yusr. Now, before we talk about this, let me just say this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the previous verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reassure the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because there's a background story, the Meccans used to call the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all kinds of names, accuse him of just wanting power, accuse him of wanting wealth, and then at the same time accuse him of his poverty, accuse him of being an orphan, or like hold that against him, mock him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they even came at some point and they said, Muhammad, if what you're doing this for is actually wealth, fame, and status or power or control, we're going to give you all of that. We'll voluntarily give you that. Just stop what you're doing. When they realized that there was momentum and that there was influence, when he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever message he's calling people to was extremely powerful, they felt, okay, let's bargain here. If what you're looking for is such and such and such, we're going to give you that. You don't need to do any of these things. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them that that's not what he's looking for, now they switched. Since he didn't accept their deal, now they started basically accusing him of what he himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they knew he was not even... قُلْ لَأَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا. Say, that's why Allah told him, repeat, say to them that I'm not looking for any reward, I'm not looking for fame, I'm not looking for any of these things. So the Meccans started to wage war against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, causing him so much stress and anxiety, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, adding more burden on him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. To the point where the Prophet ﷺ didn't even have, his financial means within Mecca were very restricted. Who would do business with him? Who would deliver? And now he has risala, he has a message to deliver, so he doesn't have time now to go, right, and travel to Sham or Yemen and earn for his family. And Mecca heavily relied on what? It relied on trade, right? If you're not a businessman, if you're not going, bringing merchandise and selling and doing trade, then how are you going to take care of your family? So now the Prophet ﷺ was in this predicament, that his role does not allow him to do the things that he used to be able to do before he received the message. That's number one. Number two, on top of that, even if he wants to stay local and, you know, be a wholesaler or something like that, or do trade, nobody is willing to engage him. And he didn't even have time for that. So that added all of that to his pressure. On top of that, now the Meccans are actually trying to ruin his reputation. The Meccans thought Muhammad is going to be forgotten. No one is going to remember you because you're rebelling against our, you know, long-held traditions and cultures and customs. They thought they will be able to erase his name from history. So Allah reassured him, regardless of what you've been subjected to, we are taking care of you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is expanding your heart, giving you sharh, purifying your heart. And your burdens are being taken care of. And your name or your fame, don't worry, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate it. And it is being elevated. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of how in life there is usr and yusr. In life, there is difficulty or hardship and ease. Life is made of a combination of both. Now, some people may make it sound like they're always having usr. بعض الناس يظن أن حياته كلها عسر. They don't realize the ease. You see, at some point, there must have been ease. So, and we find this in other surahs of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, whenever Allah mentions usr, difficulty or hardship, there is always mention of relief or ease, yusr. This life is never one or the other. It's a combination. Now, are there some people who may have a little bit more of one over the other? Perhaps. But people don't realize the following. That what may appear to be yusr, ease, may not be, you know, may not really be that. It may be a curse. What may appear to be usr or difficulty may actually be a blessing in disguise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah mentions this very powerful phrase, and it's some people say it's repeated twice, others say, scholars say actually, the phrase is not repeated twice. There are two different phrases here that are made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two very powerful phrases made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have to remember regardless of what we're going to. The first phrase is فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. فَإِنَّ طيب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ. You see, this fa is very interesting because it implies, يعني, it can be عطف. It is adat عطف anyways. But what is this fa that we find? Fa? ما هذه الفا? When Allah says فَإِنَّ, Allah could have said إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Assurance, okay, what else?
Conclusion or?
You see, we said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't forget that all of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're receiving all of these blessings. It could be, so therefore, fa, therefore, or it means because of all of that. Amir, can you do me a favor? Can you finish that outside and come in? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is issuing a statement of fact here. A principle. A qa'ida. Because Because of such and such and such and such, you are to do such and such, or this is done because of such and such. يعني this is a reason. فإن مع العسر يسرى. إن مع العسر يسرى is a reason for the previous and for what is yet to come. Or it could be فإن مع العسر يسرى is for this. The reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eased your pressure, the reason Allah did this and this and this is because فإن مع العسر يسرى. Right? And then the second statement is now because of this إن مع العسر يسرى. فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. So, right? The surah is it. However, they said, scholars made a very interesting observation. Indeed, fa'inna, indeed, ma'a, with, al-usr, difficulty, but not any difficulty. Al-usr, you have the article al, which means the difficulty. Right? Makes it very specific. Fa'inna ma'a al-usri. Anytime there is difficulty, of any kind, with it, and Allah doesn't say after it. Allah says ma'a, with it, with the difficulty, yusra, there is an ease in the indefinite. Allah doesn't say fa'inna ma'a al-usri al-yusr. Allah says fa'inna ma'a al-usri yusra. Okay. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla says inna, indeed, again, ma'a al-usri, with the difficulty, yusra, an ease in the indefinite. They said al-usr is repeated twice. And because of the article al, it implies that it's the same difficulty. The same type of difficulty. إذا جاء معرفا يعني هو نفسه. This usr and this usr are the same. Is yusr repeated twice? Yes, the word yusr is repeated twice, but it's repeated twice in the indefinite form. An ease or a relief. They said when something is which is called nakira, when the indefinite is repeated twice, that means each one implies something different. Each one means something different. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ was reported to have said, فَإِنَّهُ لَيَغْلِبَ عُسْرٌ يُسْرَيْن. Difficulty, هذا المناسبة. Yes. Difficulty, one difficulty cannot defeat two reliefs or ways or ease. Yes. That's what it means. So the scholar said, with every difficulty, there are multiple opportunities and potential reliefs and eases and solutions. You see, a difficulty is a difficulty. It's one thing. Something is very difficult. A person, a situation that you're dealing with. You're in a predicament. This difficulty is one thing. The solutions, the possibilities, the relief, the solutions, the end for this one difficulty are so many. And Allah twice tells us that with any difficulty, Allah promises us twice some sort of an ease, one or another. Some sort of an ease will come. So this type of assurance is the most powerful assurance you can get. When someone comes and says, let's say you tell someone, I have a big problem. Whatever that problem is. Think of a problem that people complain about. Gaza. What is happening to the people? This is something that we're dealing with. Each and every single one of us is probably thinking right now of what could be the scenario. Sam'ini ya jama'a? Sam'ini? Okay. What could be the scenario that is going to bring an end to this, to the atrocities committed there? What could be the scenario or the way Allah, through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring a relief to the people? And probably every one of us is thinking about something different. Could it be this? Could it be that? How would Allah? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. But Allah has many ways to make that happen.
And only Allah will make the final decision.
Yeah, of course. Of course, everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what I'm saying is, there are many ways for that to happen. So why do you let one hard situation make you forget that there are many ways to solve it and get out of it? Allah has many ways to bring a relief. So why do we get so fixated and overwhelmed and we become so defeated by one type or by one difficulty, by a hardship, and we forget that there are many ways that this difficulty or hardship can end? That's number one. Number two, the ayah tells us that مَعَ الْعُسْرِ, with it. You see, there are other places in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ عُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Allah says, Allah promises, Allah will make after a difficulty, Allah will always bring a relief. By the way, there is no difficulty in this life that is not followed by a relief of some kind. Yani someone might say, what do you mean? I know this person who yani suffered so much, suffered. They were sick and doctors couldn't do anything for that person, and that person ended up dying. That's their relief. There is no difficulty that will last forever. وَكَمْ لِلَّهِ مِنْ لُطْفٍ خَفِيٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-latif. There is no difficulty that will last or hardship that will last forever. Every hardship must come to an end. But Allah azza wa jalla in that verse says, سَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ, Allah will make after any difficulty or every difficulty, Allah will bring ease, will bring a relief eventually. Eventually every difficulty is going to come to an end. But this is not what it says here. Here Allah says in this particular promise or statement Allah is making to the Prophet, Allah is telling him, مَعَ الْعُسْرِ, with the difficulty that you're going through, there is more than one ease that is coming your way. And it's with it. It's embedded within it. Sometimes the solution or the relief is within that difficulty or that problem. Sometimes that person who is the source of your pain could be the person who is going to actually... Right? And keep in mind that sometimes people don't realize that what you think, and this is just one type, what you think is hardship could actually be a blessing in disguise, because it's actually preventing something bigger. So much so that if you were to experience that bigger predicament, you will want to go back to that. You will say, oh, I was living a good life. I was doing very well. Things were not very bad. You actually would be like wishing and praying, and you would regret really complaining about. And this is true for many people. Many people think that, oh, this relationship, this particular setup, this situation, this work. You know, sometimes people, you know, complain about work, while other people envy them for what they, at least you have work. You have a job. You have a source of income. Yeah, but you don't know how miserable I am. Oh, I would be very happy and excited if I were in your place. Sometimes people complain about, you know, their marital status. And then another person will look at them and say, you are so lucky, man. Right? صح ولا لا? Single people want to be married. Married people want to be single. Yeah, no one is. So no difficulty or hardship or challenge in life is pure evil and has no, there's no solution in it. There's no ease. Within it, there is some ease that is embedded. Look for it. The question now, people are going to say, well, easy for you to say that. Well, I'm not saying that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, or this is my understanding of what Allah is saying. How do I access that? If you're telling me that within the difficulty itself, within that hardship, there are keys or there are solutions or there's code or there are elements that will bring a relief, how do I access that? Tell me. Where do I find it? What are the clues? Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions that in the following two verses. طيب, خلاص. Good. If you can accept that premise, then let's go into the solution. What is the solution? What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to the Prophet? فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبَ. In order for you to access that ease, you must be willing to put the effort. You must be willing to put the effort. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ When you're finished, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ When you're done, فَانْصَبْ Then stand up. What does that mean? And what do we understand from this? فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ When you are done, when your job is done, when you fulfill your duties, when you do everything that you have to do. Number one key, or number one, step, the first step towards finding that ease and accessing that ease in any difficulty is fulfilling your duties. فَرَغْتُ Finish it. Finish what you started. Finish the job. Do your part. Fulfill your duties. اعقلها وتوكل. Right? Do your part. Once you're done, number two, فانصب. Someone might say, okay, when I'm done, I need to eat to relax. No, not if you're in difficulty. If you're in difficulty, then you need to do what? You need to push, after you're done with your duties, you need to push yourself. Raise the bar. And you need to go the extra mile. And take one more step. Stand up. In the case of the Prophet, because he's dealing with spiritual difficulties and sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it actually, this solution, the spiritual solution, is beneficial for anything. It solves everything. Allah says to him, فَانْصَبْ Stand up. And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means stand up in prayer. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that's where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received what? Not only revelation. What did the Prophet ﷺ say about salah? جُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي salah. Salah was his fuel, ya jama'ah. It reached a point where salah was the place where the Prophet ﷺ found strength. قُوَّتُهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ His comfort was in salah. So when you fulfill your duties, part of which, by the way, is salah, the five daily prayers, now get up and get more from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قِيَامُ اللَّيْلِ فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ Stand up and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There, Allah azza wa jal is going to give you extra strength. وَاسْتَعِينُ بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ There you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up your mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you clarity. Your faculties will become sharper. Your soul is going to be refined. It's going to be finer. Right. You're going to experience a level of growth that is going to actually help you find the keys or the elements, the solution. That's where revelation is going to come. That's where you're going to find your فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ And by the way, this works. I have been told by professionals, health and mental care professionals, who would recommend, for anyone who is overwhelmed with responsibilities and they're dealing with stress, I was just looking into some material by an expert, a mental health expert, that was talking about the power. What helped them the most was meditation. Meditation, yeah. Tafakkur, ibadah, salah, whatever. Meditation. The most powerful. And it's proven. It's like there is science. It's proven that the most powerful. One of the most powerful practices is meditation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ Raise the bar, push yourself, take that one extra step, and you'll be able to see. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, stand up. And obviously, we can look at this as a metaphor for other things. You see, if you're sitting and you're surrounded with difficulty, or if you lie down, you won't be able to see the many solutions around you because you're lying down. But if you stand up, you're going to be able to see. You're going to be able to see where, at least you will know where where the problem, where the source of the problem is. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to specify what kind of stand up, what kind of effort Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those who follow the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam want to do, Allah says, وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. O Muhammad, and to your Lord, direct yourself and your longing. Put your trust and your faith and your hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's where the solution is going to come from. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is going to provide you with that ease. Because the promise came from Allah. You see, if you turn to human beings, people will just tell you that your predicament or your situation is unless they're obviously wise and educated and capable, right? In which case they're going to be very positive. But most people, ordinary people, whenever you share your difficulties with them, they're just going to make it worse for you. See, a lot of people try to find comfort in friends or family or human beings that may not actually be equipped with wisdom or with knowledge or with experience or with the tools to help them cope or make sense of the difficulty that they're going through. And they don't realize it by just sharing sometimes or venting. You may feel a little relief, but sometimes you're also exposing yourself to a lot of potential problems. They may even make it worse for you. They may give you bad advice that will actually complicate the situation. And I can't tell you how many times, and I've seen this. Well-intended people who think that they're helping, they're actually giving people bad and horrible advice. And most people, their situation becomes, they aggravate their own conditions by seeking yusr, relief, or help from the wrong sources. See, when you go back to Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah tells you, either I will provide you with a solution, I will open things up, or I will send you I will send you towards the solution, towards those people or resources that can actually help you. Help you identify where you can find the relief and the ease. But if you try to do it on your own, or if you go to what most people do, to the wrong people, you're just going to get stuck in this vicious cycle, and things are going to get worse and worse. And then people come to you and tell you, well, didn't I tell you things are going to get worse? Oh, your situation is so bad, there is no solution. Yeah, there is solution. You just don't know it. I'm confident. You see, this is what this ayah gives us. The gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that you have to maintain positive attitude and faith in Allah azza wa jalla. If you believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make your situation better, and if you seek that as Allah commanded you to do, if you follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan, you're going to find that relief. If you don't, if you believe that there is no solution and your situation is this the worst, you're in the worst predicament ever, and there is no solution, then if you keep that kind of attitude, it's going to do nothing but make it worse. And then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy because people end up saying, I knew it wasn't going to get any better. خلاص, خير. If that's your expectation, you were not able to see the ease. Allah says, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. And I believe in Allah and I don't believe you. So this, surah, to be honest with you, for the past, few months, actually any time there is a huge crisis, whenever I go back to this surah and contemplate and reflect, it relates. Not only does it relate, but it opens up the door of hope. And it actually stops this very, very horrible pattern of going down the hopelessness path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help you and I overcome all of our difficulties and hardships. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease our situation. And of the prayers and supplications that we need to maintain, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to tell Fatima, Fatima radiallahu anha came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, complaining about different things. One of the issues he complained about was she had 4 children, right? 3 boys, 2 girls. No, she had 3 boys, 1 girl. كان عندها 3 boys and 1 girl. A lot of work to do. To the point where her hands, it wore out her skin and her hands were very... So she went to her husband. She told her husband, Ali radiallahu anhu, go and ask the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to lend us or to spare, to give us a servant, khadim, someone that can help us, can help me. I'm not able to. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, rely, depend on Allah, put your trust and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and let me teach you and your husband something that if you were to do, a practice, if you were to do, it's better for you than a khadim. And the practice involved something similar to the فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ, turn to Allah. He taught them, if you want to use modern day terminology, a form of meditation. He said, إِذَا أَوَيْتُمَا إِلَى فِرَاشِكُمَا, when you go to bed, then together, كَبِّرَا أَرْبَعَ وَثَلَاثِينَ, say Allahu Akbar, 34 times. Alhamdulillah, 33 times. Reverse. And Subhanallah, 33 times. فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمَا مِنْ خَادِمٍ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, that will be better for you than a servant. And I believe in it. وَهُوَ مُجَرَّبٌ. Can you do it as an individual? Yes. Would it help? It will help. But I'll tell you, it's the most effective when a couple do it together. The most effective thing for, one of the most effective things for a couple to do together is to say Allahu Akbar when they go to bed. To say Allahu Akbar 34 times. And to say Alhamdulillah 33 times. And to say Subhanallah 33 times. It's powerful. You have to try it. And I urge anyone, I challenge anyone, if there is anyone there listening to me, any couple or any individual, do this. Do this for the next 21 days and see what happens. Do this for the next 40 days and see what happens. Someone might say, well, really? Yeah. Is this an easy solution? It's easy. فَيْنَمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى. It's easy. You're telling me this can actually help. Could this be the solution for all of my problems? Maybe not. But in this specific situation, when Fatima came and needed some strength or she needed extra help, the Prophet ﷺ told her, you don't have the means, I don't have the means for that now. In the meanwhile, go ahead and do this. And it will be better for you than a khadim. It's better than what you came asking for. I'm giving you something better. He told her something else. And this is another recommendation. Again, I'm just reminding us of certain practices, daily practices, that can help actually ease our difficulties and that can help empower us and strengthen us. Another advice the Prophet gave to Fatima. He said, Ya Fatima, O Fatima, ma yamna'uki an taquli. Anas said, the Prophet ﷺ told Fatima, Fatima, why don't you listen to what I'm telling you? Why don't you listen to what I'm telling you? Every morning and every evening, say, Quli, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, O ever living, O Allah Ya Qayyum, O one who takes care of everyone and everything, بِرَحْمَتِكَ أَسْتَغِيثِ, I am seeking your mercy. In your mercy, I'm seeking your mercy. بِرَحْمَتِكَ أَسْتَغِيثِ, أَصْلِحْ لِي شَأْنِي كُلَّهِ, rectify all of my affairs. وَلَا تَكِلْنِي, and do not leave me, إِلَى نَفْسِي طَرْفَتَعِينَ, do not leave me to myself, not even for a blink of an eye. It's a form of meditation, because when we say these things, we're not supposed to just, Ya Hayyu Qayyum Rahmatika Astaghith. No, you're supposed to really contemplate and think and focus and practice mindfulness and be totally mindful of the moment and the seriousness of the situation and who it is that you're speaking to and you're asking this from, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And really, لابد أن يقدر الإنسان كل كلمة في هذا الدعاء قدرها وحقها. When you do it that way, when you sit and you say, يا حي, fully believing that Allah is everlasting, ever living, that He is al-hay. And you understand what that means. And you say, يا قيوم, and you understand to the best of your ability what that means, and you connect with that meaning, and you internalize it, and you know that. And you know Allah is the one that takes care of everything, and Allah Azza wa Jalla needs no one. And you are a thing from the things that Allah is taking care of. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking care of everything, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of taking care of you. What makes you, what could possibly, what reason did Allah Azza wa Jalla give any one of us to be hopeless or to feel helpless? What reason? No reason. All of these negative feelings that we have are self-made or inflicted on us by other people, and all these unhealthy, toxic attachments and relationships that we have, that we ourselves allowed and gave access to into our own lives. Yani most of our difficulties and problems we brought upon ourselves. Most, not all, most. And someone might say, well, no, my situation was not self-inflicted. I am a victim here. I understand. But how you let that situation or issue or challenge affect you is, to a certain degree, your choice. I can come and, you know, someone can victimize you once. But if you hold on to that person or that relationship or even that particular incident or situation or predicament, if you hold on to it for years and decades and for the rest of your life, then you're the one holding on to it. A person offended you once, but you keep offending yourself over and over again because you're holding on to it. But anyways, that's a discussion for some other time. So generally speaking, right? Most of our difficulties are self-made or brought upon us, or even if it's done by other people, there are ways for us to, and I don't see any reason for us to lose hope. Really, real, legitimate reason for us to be hopeless, completely hopeless, or to be completely helpless. Not with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you are making this dua, you have to fully believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, or is subhanahu wa ta'ala willing to bring you relief. Ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika astaghith. And why bi rahmatika? Why are you saying, why did the Prophet say to Fatima, call upon the mercy of Allah? لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. My mercy encompasses everything. So if you come to Allah, if you're broken, and in your brokenness, you come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you ask Allah azza wa jal for His mercy, which He Himself said. He made that declaration. We're not attributing this to Him. He subhanahu wa ta'ala made that declaration in that promise. It is a promise. Oh Allah, You said, wa rahmati wasi'at kulla shay. My mercy has encompassed everything. One of the great people of the past used to say, oh Allah, and I am a shay. I am a thing. And you said, my mercy encompasses everything. بِرَحْمَتِكَ أَسْتَغِيثِ. Then the dua ends with, أَصْلِحْ لِي شَأْنِي كُلَّهِ. Rectify all of my affairs. If you practice this dua with full certainty, this is a dua the Prophet ﷺ recommended to his daughter on a daily basis. You see, even du'as have potency. And they're very effective. And they do produce results. But you have to use them as directed. You have to practice it as directed, right? If you're not doing it as directed, just like any supplement or any medication or anything that has behind it, very strong research or evidence that it works. If you're not using it as directed, then it's not gonna work.
It's not going to work. It's not going to be effective. So this dua, in order for it to really, you have to, again, be very mindful, and you have to really connect and make this dua on a daily basis. إِذَا أَصْبَحْتِ وَأَمْسَيْتِ. Every morning, the Prophet said to her, every morning and every evening. And again, I challenge, I don't care what kind of difficulty you're dealing with. This prescription, this prophetic prescription works. Do it for 21 days or do it for 40 days and see.
Same thing of
Same thing. Yeah, that was prescribed. So almost for every difficult, for every challenge or difficulty or hardship, the Prophet ﷺ did give recommendations and prescriptions to his companions and family members. The du'a of one of the Sahaba, he said, the Prophet ﷺ saw me, and I was overwhelmed, and I had anxiety, and I had hardship that stemmed from his financial troubles and problems. So the Prophet ﷺ told him to make a dua. قَالْ فَعَلْتْ. He said, I did it. I practiced the dua. The Prophet told him to practice the dua. And he said, قَالَ اللَّهُ عَنِّي دَيْنِي وَأَنْهَبْ عَنِّي غَمِّي يُهَمِّي. No. فإن مع العسر يسرى إن مع العسر يسرى. So and again, seek guidance and you know, talk to the right people and tap into the resources that you have around you. And there's nothing wrong with examining people around you. See if someone has something to offer you, and if they're not, if they don't have it, if they don't have what it takes, you know, look somewhere else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, سَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ عُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Allah Azza wa Jal promises that after any difficulty or hardship or challenge, there will come ease and relief. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يسر أمرنا وأن يختم بالصالحات أعمالنا يا رب العالمين. Inshallah ta'ala, we're gonna pause بإذن الله, as inshallah ta'ala I'm going to be leaving for Hajj inshallah after 4 days. بإذن الله ta'ala, inshallah we'll try to resume in July بإذن الله. When I get back, inshallah ta'ala. So, nasa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the month of June, there will be two series. Sheikh Yasser, Habibullah, Sheikh Yasser Fazaga, inshallah, is going to start two classes on, I believe, Monday and Wednesday, or Tuesday and Thursday, I forgot. On Monday and Thursday. Mondays and Thursday, Sheikh Yasser Fazaga is going to have two different series. It's going to be announced, but he was planning to start that, inshallah ta'ala. So I urge you to come for that, inshallah, again, starting after Maghrib and until Isha, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Please forgive me for any shortcomings or any mistakes. Wasturu ma wajahtum. Nasa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lana wa lakum al-tawfiq. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. ولنا ولكم التيسير والقبول. Amin. Do not forget. نحن على مشارف. كم اليوم التاريخ؟ اليوم 30. أليس كذلك؟ طيب. In 1 week, inshallah ta'ala, the best period, the best 10 days of the whole year will begin. عشر ذي الحجة. Prepare yourself for that. And take, walaykum salam, take full advantage of it. عشر ذي الحجة. Right? It's time for ibadah. That doesn't mean that we should wait until then, but من الآن فصاعدا بإذن الله تعالى. ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن ييسر أن يفرج الهم عن إخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين في كل مكان, خاصة أهلنا وإخواننا في غزة. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يجعل لهم فرجا قريبا, وأن ييسر همهم ويغفر ذنبهم ويرحم موتاهم, وأن يخذل عدوهم ومن بغى عليهم. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يجعل كيد الظالمين, أن يرد كيد الظالمين في نحورهم, وأن ينجي أهل الحق من بين يعني من شرورهم. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى لنا ولكم الستر والعافية. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.